40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord. I'd like to read one or two passages, firstly from the Gospel by Luke, chapter 12. Verse 49 and 50. I came to cast fire upon the earth, and what will I if it is already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I think I should point out that the real sense of those words would be better given in this form: I came to cast fire on the earth. And oh, that it were already kindled. Now, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened, pent up, till it be accomplished? In the book of the Acts, chapter 1, verse 3, to whom he also presented himself alive after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, at verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I am the first and the last, and the living one. And I became dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades. And we approach this particular aspect with the same question that with which we have approached all the others: why the 40 days? We're going to try to sum up our answer to that question in three ways, although there are so many details and much more than ever we could cover in so short a time. Evidently, those 40 days were very much more full than any record that we have indicated. We have only 10 recorded appearances of the Lord during the 40 days, and 5 of them took place on the first day, leaving 39 days for 5, if that were all. That John, in speaking of his appearance after his resurrection, did say, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And I think the context would conclude that the many other signs were after his resurrection. And here Luke confirms that by speaking of the 40 days as containing many proofs. Many proofs. So they were evidently very full days. And being so, that period was one of very great importance. We are not going to stay with the various appearances. That is not our purpose. We want to get hold of the significance of the whole. Now this note in the octave of redemption has not been struck nearly as strongly and firmly as it ought to have been. Sometimes, you know, a hammer in the piano gets a bit worn or injured, and when you go up the scale, that particular note is weaker than others. You know that it is missing, and I think that this note of the 40 days has lost a good deal of its strength, or has not been given the strength and positiveness and fullness of volume which it ought to have been given. And I think that you will see that is so as we proceed this morning. You see, this was the great turning point. And everything for Christianity rested upon this aspect of the whole of redemption's plan. Tremendous number of things rested upon this. We can only mention a few, and they are sufficient to indicate what a tremendous thing it was. But let us note that this is one of the great 40s of the Bible. It's not an accident that it's 40 days after his resurrection. There are 8 major 40s in the Bible. I leave you to look them up. But I can mention some. There was the great 40 years of the life of Moses in Egypt, a time of deep preparation and testing, especially testing of his heart. How we would like to stay with each one of these, because they have such a message of value in them. But you know, if you have all the wealth and treasures and learning of one at least of the greatest countries or empires in history at your disposal, open to you, it's a fairly good test of where your heart is. And Moses came through a test like that at the end of those 40 years, showing that his heart was not in that. His heart was for God and God's interest. But 40 is always the number of probation, of testing and proving and deciding. And it was fairly decisive, was it not, with Moses at the end of those 40 years. But then commenced another 40 with Moses, the backside of the desert. And if the first 40 was a time of testing of his heart, the second 40 was a time of testing of his faith. I leave you with that. What a tremendous probation that was. 40 years. A disappointed undertaking. Disappointed hopes and expectations, and a consciousness that he was responsible in the main for it by his own folly. I say it was a test of faith that he emerged. And then the 40 years of Moses in the mount, and what a time of testing that was for Israel down below. 40 days, 40 nights in the mount, and the testing of Israel down below. Yes, it was meant for that, I think, really to find them out, and we know how they emerged from that time. They were proved right enough. Thing was decided very definitely, and out from that God had to make his great movement over the Levites, subject full of instruction, but to be left there. And then Israel's own 40 years in the wilderness, what a time of testing, probation, and decision it was. There are others, but we leap right over from there to the New Testament and our Lord's testing for 40 days in the wilderness. Great testing. And then, finally, to this one. Could see the character, the nature, the meaning of it. A time of testing, of proving, of establishing, deciding, and settling. That's the meaning of 40. And all that was gathered into the 40 days after the resurrection. But look at some of the factors included in this period. For Christianity, for the church, for the future, all the work of the apostles hung upon this. You see that as we go on, that is perfectly clear. So what good were they? Before the beginning of the 40 days. What could they have done as we find them when he is in the tomb? He might have risen and gone to heaven, and they had not seen him, and then in some way it might have come to them that he was in heaven, but there would have been something of very great importance lacking if it had been like that. Door would have been open for all kinds of things to come in, but the Lord did not leave it like that. Their future work rested upon these 40 days. The Lord was laying the foundation for everything with them during that period. And so as a first and not unimportant thing, the very work of the apostles rested upon these 40 days. And the very existence of the church rested upon the same ground. That we shall see again presently, more fully. But the existence of the church demanded these 40 days. The ability for Christians to suffer, to endure, and to conquer required these 40 days. Being many proofs, the ground soundly and solidly established that he was alive. Essential for all the suffering and the steadfastness and the overcoming of believers in the days which were ahead. Again, the assurance of an eternal future for believers rested upon this. The death is not the end. But there is a life which has conquered death and and which life is for them, and that an eternal future is secured unto them. It rested upon these 40 days. Again, the very nature of the believer's resurrection body is established by these 40 days. 1 Corinthians 15 makes that perfectly clear, positively stated. This mortal shall be put off, and immortality shall be put on, or incorruption, and the believer's body shall be made like unto his glorious body. Like unto his glorious body, but what's that like? We anything to go upon? Is there any solid ground for believing that after resurrection you have a body? Well, the Lord was taking very great pains to make it perfectly clear that he was no phantom, no disembodied spirit. Handle me and see. Spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Our knowledge of a resurrection body, its facts and nature, was established during those 40 days. And the hope concerning those who are asleep, that hope is established by this period. Just to mention those things, amongst others, is to indicate that this was no unimportant period or phase of the great octave of redemption. It's redemption that is focused upon and in this period. Everything had to be well founded and grounded with many proofs. As we said earlier, Luke was a meticulous historian. Tells us that he had taken pains to ascertain, to find out and make sure of the facts that he was recording. And Luke says, by many proofs, as I have quoted already, John said, many other signs to Jesus in the presence of his disciples. By many proofs, the object, setting the evidence, leaving things without any doubt, or leaving one thing without any doubt. What is it? Jesus lives. Jesus lives after death. In other words, the Lord is risen. Well, now we come to look at these three things, which to some degree, at any rate, sum up the answer to the question, why the 40 days? What I've already said, of course, is a good answer, but that's not the whole answer. We want to come, firstly, to the Lord's own conception of his resurrection. What did the Lord Jesus himself conceive to be the particular value to himself of his resurrection? And the answer is in those words which we have read from Luke 12, 49 and 50. I came to scatter fire on the earth. And how I am pent up. I have a baptism to be baptized with. Oh, that it were already accomplished. No doubt he's speaking about the baptism of his passion at the cross. But he was looking through the baptism. And was thinking of the other side as his release. His release. And the very first thing about these 40 days is that it was the release of the Lord. How am I straightened? How am I penned up? How am I confined? I've come to scatter fire on the earth, broadcast the fire over the whole earth. Here I am, tied up to these few miles, a little country, tied up to time, tied up to all the conditions of life here, limited in every way. Oh, how limited he was. Limited in his own movements, limited in his disciples, limited in every way. He was longing to be out, to be free, to be released. He looked upon the cross as the way of his release and the resurrection as his release. Now the Lord had at the commencement of his ministry made a great announcement. You remember that his first recorded ministry in Nazareth was when he took up Isaiah 61 and took the sevenfold aspect of his ministry, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, heading right up to this, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that more correctly translated is to proclaim the year of the Lord's release. And there is little doubt that in his mind he was thinking of the Jubilee, because those words are the words which belong to the Jubilee year, the year of release. And everything that had gone into bondage, man, woman, child, houses, land, or anything else, had to be released in the Jubilee year, the 50th year. Now Jesus, right at the commencement of his ministry, said, I am come in relation to God's Jubilee, God's 50th year, the year of the Lord's release. There were 40 Jubilees from the Exodus of Israel to the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. A little bit of Bible study for you, if you like. Here is the 40th Jubilee beginning. Now, while he made the declaration in the words of Scripture and knew what he meant, setting at liberty them that are bound, open the prison to the prisoner, letting the oppressed go free, he knew what he meant, and he made the announcement that he had come to bring in the greatest of all the Jubilee. The realization, the fulfillment of that was just a little way ahead, yet they had 3 or 3.5 years ahead. It took effect in the 40 days. It took effect in the 40 days and as the outcome of the 40 days, first of all, as to himself. He came into his own release, his complete emancipation by the resurrection. It was the Lord's own release, setting free. See him now. See him now. No geographical confinement can hold him. He's outside of all that. No time limit can hold him. None of those old features of limitation and strictness. Now again, he is out. Time doesn't matter. Distance doesn't matter. But there's his resurrection. He walked with two to Emmaus, broke bread with them, disappeared. They tore for their very lives back to Jerusalem to tell that he was there before them. Like that all the time. Well, I need not dwell upon that. It's so apparent. He's set free. His release has come. And you can tabulate all the marks of that release during the 40 days. But that was his side. He had not only come to proclaim his own release and to secure it through the cross, although just consider all the values to us of that. See what he's doing with these disciples, the nucleus of his church, the larger company, yes, up to 500 brethren one time, says Paul. See what he's doing. He's establishing the ground, the evidence, that he knows no limitation. He knows no bounds and bonds. He's free. That's something for the church. Tremendous inheritance for us. So glad of that, aren't we, today? The geography doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it's 50 or 500 or 5,000 miles. It doesn't matter. It doesn't obtain. Time doesn't matter. None of these things matter. He is free. Tremendous thing for the church to realize and to have established by many proofs. Please turn the tape over. None of these things matter. He is free. That's a tremendous thing for the church to realize and to have established by many proofs. Those verses, you know, that used to put in the other words have been taken out. Many infallible proofs. Well, if it's not in the original text, we shan't be wrong in putting it into the text. Many infallible proofs. But there was the other side. The release of his own. The release of the men and the release of the church. Proclaim the year of the Lord's release. Look at the men before. Terribly tied up in themselves, weren't they? Very limited in every way. Limited in their capacities for spiritual things. In their understanding, in their spiritual intelligence. So manifestly so. So many ways they were limited. Paul's words to the Corinthians might very well have applied to them. You're straitened in your own self. But look at their release during these days. You can see it growing. See, it's happened and it's happening all the time. They're being released. You've only got to look at the difference between Peter in the judgment hall and Peter on the day of Pentecost. one man, limited, bound, straightened deep into it. The other man out, right out. He's a man emancipated. We were all like that. All like that. It was the year of Jubilee for them, which he had proclaimed, and by his resurrection had brought in, and which was sealed by the coming of the Holy Spirit on the 50th day. The Jubilee day. Remember that Pentecost is the 50th day. 50th year is Jubilee, and Pentecost the 50th day. Yes, it's Jubilee. It's released. Everything bears a stamp, you see, it's back. And so, Pentecost was not the crown of these 50 days and the making good, especially of the values of the 40. It was their release. Dear friends, if you and I were really in the good of these 40 days, we should be liberated and released men and women. I'm really struggling not to say such a lot of things. That's my trouble in a matter like this. But draw yourselves upon Thomas. Is ever a man more tied up than Thomas? And tied up with himself. And tied up with his own temperament. That kind of temperament, you know, that doesn't believe anything unless you have absolute proof. Never take anybody else's word for it. Must have it proved and demonstrated. And what a poor, miserable fellow he was. Just turned in upon himself. Going out for a walk by himself and leaving all the others. Except I see I will not believe. That shut him up to a little prison of his own soul. No gospel, no good news is any good to anybody like that. Because they don't have it. They won't have it. They can't. The very best news that you can bring. Yes, but that's after all only what you say. The reaction to the very best thing. Well, you say that, you believe that. I haven't any proof that it is so. Here's poor Thomas. Representative of a whole class of people, temperamentally. But look at the man. 40 days settled all that for Thomas. Settled it so thoroughly that when the Lord says, well, take your evidence. Reach it at our hand. Take your evidence. It's never recorded that he did. My Lord and my God. He's overwhelmed. He's a man released. And so it was true of them all, and we could go round and show how each one needed release. But it came during the 40 days. There were men out, and there they are, standing up together on the day of Pentecost. Men who are free. The effect of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus ought to be that effect in you and in me. We ought to release us from ourselves and our own little world. And it does. Thank God it does if we come vitally into it. If you don't know that in experience, let me say, my dear friends, that's your inheritance. The good of these 40 days is your inheritance. It's for you, first of all. It is not a chapter in history. This is not a point of Christian doctrine. This is an up-to-date power for every life, for our release from ourselves. It's something offered to your faith to take hold of. The year of death. their release, but at our release, the church's release, that jubilee is not over yet. That jubilee is not over yet. Now I come to the next theme, the third theme. The Lord Jesus has said to them, as he was going to the cross, he sat with them in the last hours before the passion. All ye shall be offended because of me. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. What a scattering. What a scattering took place. They one and all forsook him. And they're broken up into fragments. We might say all over the place, like a scattered, shattered vessel, inwardly in pieces, and outwardly in pieces. His words scattered. And very, very truly that took place. Now look at the body. What's he doing? Bringing together again all the pieces. He's collecting all the fragments. Here and there he's finding those pieces. Two have gone out in this direction. Others are here and others are there. There's no sign of any integration, oneness about them. They're all in pieces. And now, during the 40 days, he's finding them all. Collecting them all up. Bringing them together. Then he's got them all together. But it's a togetherness that had never been before. It's a oneness that they had never known. This is the value of the 40 days. Now remember, it could not have been otherwise. There were all the elements of disintegration in them before. And it had to be. It could not be otherwise. But that one thinking about. Because here you had, shall I say, the church in representation, in division. All broken up into fragments. No mutual confidence. No believing one another. Doubting one another. Suspecting one another. A broken up church. A divided church. A scattered church. Not only divided and scattered, but in an atmosphere of questions and suspicions and doubts and all that sort of thing. True, that's how they were. And that was all because of the conditions which were in themselves before the cross. The ground was there for it. Now just think. They had an association with him. They knew all his teachings. They saw his work. They accompanied with him during that time. They came under
his influence and his spell. They were his disciples. And yet, there was all that there, latent, which made possible all these divisions and suspicions and questions. It can be. If our relationship to the Lord Jesus is only an objective and outward kind of thing, knows his teaching, of course, believes that his teaching is right, has some kind of relationship with him, yes, some measure of devotion to him, all that kind of doctrinal, theological, historical relationship to the Lord Jesus, short of something deep and tremendous wrought inside. Short of that tremendous action of the cross to break the natural man and open up for something other from heaven. In saying this, I'm saying more than my words perhaps can say. But you know it's possible. And very often, that is the ground of all the scattering and the division and the quarreling and the suspicion and the everything else. And all the questions. The cross has not done its work. To break the natural man, even in his relationship to Christ, in his apprehension of the things of Christ, to break all his natural life and split him wide open, something from heaven. A long, long story bound up with a statement like that, and a terrible story like that. And so I say, it was not just that because Christ was crucified outwardly that they were scattered and disappointed. I say the seeds of that scattering were in them. The ground was there. But now, what happens? A new ground is being put inside. They've been broken. They have been broken and shattered. And now a new ground is being put in. A ground of another life. And another kind of knowledge of the Lord. That's the great thing about the 40 days. Another kind of knowledge of him. Never known him like this. Indeed, they're finding it sometimes difficult to believe that this is he. That it is he at all. And some doubt it. Some doubt it. When they saw him, some doubt it. Is it he? Is it he? And Jesus came to them and said, fear not. And Jesus came to them because they were not sure yet. It's another kind of knowledge of him, you see. It's knowing him on another ground. Paul said, though we have known Jesus Christ after the flesh, yet though we know him no more. Different kind of knowledge of him as the essential basis of a true oneness. A knowledge which has come on the one side through a terrible shattering of all natural knowledge. The size through a new coming of the Lord to the shattered man and woman. It's always like that till you've been broken. You're not in a position, really, for the Lord to come and show you the greatest thing, the deepest thing, the truest thing. These are abiding principles. And so, he gathered them, or shall we say, regathered them. Regathered them and established a new oneness upon a new kind of knowledge of himself, and upon the basis of a new kind of life. They're off now, off the ground of their own life. They're on the ground of his life. Their life was a divided life. His life is a uniting life. It's all very well for us to say, dear friends, we are all one in Christ because we all share one life. Well, of course, very true, but it might be quite a superficial statement. You know, we really, really only come into the practical value of that one life if the cross has done something in it. The practical expression of the oneness of that life demands this deep work of the cross. It may be positionally true that we're all one in Christ because we share his one life, the eternal life that he has given. Positionally true, or it may be actually true. But the expression of it may still be waiting. And that's just true today, isn't it? All we can say, all true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who have received the gift of eternal life are one. One by reason of the one life that they all share with him and in him. Yes, but still look at the expression amongst Christians. Where is the manifestation of the one of that life? That's tragically lacking. Here, you see, the manifestation of it came about when the cross had done its deep breaking work in their natural life and turned them over onto another ground where all their apprehension of him was a spiritual one. Their knowledge of him was a spiritual one. It was on the ground of something tremendous that was happening in them. For this, these 40 days were not only days of things happening to them. You could see something happening in them correspondingly all the time. I pointed out earlier the very fact that before, when he made the slightest hint of his departure, they were thrown into consternation and terror. And now they're moving rapidly toward the place where, far from consternation as he is going from them, they're quite happy about it. Quite full of joy. All right, that's all gone, that fear. Something's happening in them, isn't it? As he appears by the space of 40 days. We gather on a new ground. There's a factor that to me is of tremendous significance and comfort. You know, it was not so very long after this that they were all scattered abroad again. Because of the persecution which arose about Stephen, they were all scattered abroad, and it's perfectly safe for them to be scattered. And the old scattering was a devastating thing. All loss, all weakness, all wrong. They can be scattered anywhere, all over the world now, and it's a safe. That's eternity. It's all for good. You see, when the thing's done inside, it's all right. It's all right. An Ethiopian no longer needs a Philip to lean upon. He can go on his own way of rejoicing without Philip or anybody else. When the thing's done inside. When it's done like that, you can trust. People will go on. They'll go on. And go on, thank God that it's like that. Persecution, yes, scattering, imprisonment.
How did it going on?
Things done inside. It's very blessed
to recognize that.
And these are the values which sprang out of those 40 days. Many others, my dear friend, this is here in the Word. For us, it's handed down to us. This is not just history, church history of what happened long ago. This book of the Acts, which, as we have said, might very well be called the book of the Lord's release, is given to the church as the very basis of the church's life. It's for us. It's for us. We have a tremendous heritage in these 40 days. And if only we were really established upon those values, what a difference it would make. What a difference it would make. And I do want to especially to lay hold of that factor of the regathering and the consolidating and the new fellowship. That is what is needed. That is what is needed. Perhaps it's a terrible indictment. Present situation among Christians. All the fragments and the divisions and all the questions and suspicions and all the rest. It's an indictment that believers are not really standing in the meaning of this thing done by the cross to destroy the natural ground, the natural life, and to make room for the spiritual, the heavenly. That's where it all focuses. And I'm quite sure that the deeper the cross goes in us, on the one side of our natural life in all its forms, the deeper the cross goes in that, and the more we are opened to the heavenly life, so the more we shall be together, established. That's a statement of fact, but it's a test, a real test. So in the little that I have said, you can see that these 40 days were very, very important days. And they stand as a very important epoch in the life of the church for all time.